Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill, former state representative out of the District 1 in Florida. That's in the panhandle, Escambia County, Pensacola area. I have the honor of sitting in today for Dr. Youngblood, whose son is still in the hospital, having complications and battling COVID-19. I have asked, and I'm sure others have asked you, to please pray for Gene Youngblood Jr. for his healing. We have seen some miraculous things take place since he has been admitted into the hospital. We've seen dramatic improvement, and then we'll see a step back or two in his condition, and then the saints start praying, and we see improvement again. More recently, he was able to get out of the bed and get into a chair there at the hospital, which was a huge bit of improvement for him, because that means that he's even that much closer to going home. He's still not out of the woods. He still needs your prayer. So I would ask you all to please pray for Dr. Youngblood's son, that's Gene A. Youngblood Jr., to please pray for his healing. And I ask you to pray because prayer works. The fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. That's directly from God's word, and it is true. He wouldn't say that if it didn't work. So pray, saints. Pray for Dr. Youngblood. I would also ask you to pray for this nation. We need prayer for this great nation. And before I get into our topics that we're going to cover today, let me say this, that Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. Right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. Or you can visit them online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. And we thank this company for sponsoring this show. And we would ask anyone else who would like to sponsor the show, just call in at 904-831-0917. The show is heard in five stations in the Jacksonville area, and also in the Virginia area is being heard. The show is expanding because Christians want to know about the issues that we are facing today and how to address them from a Christian perspective. So as we go through, if you would like to join the show today, the number to call in is 904-831-0917. Also, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we know that we're going through some perilous times right now, that things look almost impossible. Not only just here in the U.S., but around the world. It's like the world has lost its mind. And we want to blame certain people, certain individuals, the Biden administration, the United Nations, and so forth. But we must remember this, and I'm sure the listeners of this show will be familiar with this scripture verse. It comes from Ephesians 6:12. And I read from the King James Version. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is our enemy, ladies and gentlemen. It's not another person. This is a spiritual battle, and it is a battle that we are fighting for this nation, for the soul of this nation. We cannot fight it alone, and do not try to fight it alone. We must call upon the Lord. That's where our prayer comes in place. We must call upon the Lord to help us to fight this battle against this spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's start off with an article that recently came to me. It came across my desk, and it was very interesting, and I want to share some portions of this article with you. It was written by Rob Pugh. Rob Pugh writes for newswithviews.com, and is from a WisconsinChristianNews.com. WisconsinChristianNews.com. So, very interesting article. Let me read some of it here. And as we go through, if there's something that really jumps out to you, something that you want to comment on, please feel free to call in at 904-831-0917. Okay, here it begins. This is by Rob Pugh. Some have wondered if we're now experiencing the third term of our first Muslim president. And I have to agree with that assessment. The current occupant of the White House may well soon be replaced by the person the globalists intended to sit there all along, Kamala Harris or Nancy Pelosi. Let me just take a break right there for a minute. First of all, he states that he's referring to Obama as our first Muslim president. And indeed, Obama was. He was a Muslim. He faked like he was a Christian. But it became more and more apparent that as his two terms in office went along, that he is indeed a Muslim, that he sided with the Muslim extremists, not only just Muslim extremists, with Muslim nations and people all around the world, that the fact that he gave them billions of dollars in cash, you know, that is part of the Islam religion. That someone who is not an infidel must pay to the Muslims, either that or convert, either that or die. So Obama was paying for the United States. It's a tax on non-Muslims. And Obama was paying that for the United States to the Nation of Islam, billions of dollars. And now Biden is continuing that. Why would he continue that? Because Biden is being controlled by the same people who controlled Obama. A lot of the same people who were part of the Obama regime are now part of the Biden regime. Susan Rice, Eric Holder, the Secretary of State, Blinken, the Secretary of War, the Secretary, you understand what I'm saying. At any rate, these Secretary Austin, these people were part of Obama administration. So they're all now a part of the Biden administration. But don't think that they are the ones who are behind this. They are taking their orders from the Council of Foreign Relations. That's right, Council of Foreign Relations. Many of the members of the Biden administration are members of the CFR. Look it up and you'll see that. Okay, let's get back to this article by Rob Pugh. Afghanistan is big news. After 20 years, America's longest war, nearly 2,500 American service members were killed there that we know of. Nearly 4,000 U.S. contractors were killed there. The Afghan National Military and Police lost 66,000. Afghan civilian deaths were 47,245. We lost 440 aid workers and 72 journalists. He goes on to say, we also left behind $85 billion in sophisticated military equipment, all handed over to the Taliban with a big red bow on it. Why would we deliberately plan to leave so much equipment behind? One government talking head said it was more expensive to bring it back than to just leave it. But when has the cost of anything ever had any bearing on decisions made by our government? Isn't that the truth? Okay, let me, I'm not reading anymore. Now I'm commenting on this. I'll say this, that all of that equipment that was left behind by the military, by the Biden administration, was intentional. You don't leave that kind of equipment behind by mistake or that it would cost too much to bring it back. No, that was intentional. And let me read to you some of the items which were left behind. It is astounding. $85 billion worth of our money, taxpayers' money, we paid for that equipment and delivered it there, and it was supposed to have been to keep peace there in the nation. Now, this is what the Taliban now has of our equipment that was left behind. 22,174 Humvees, 8,000 trucks, 16,035 night vision goggles, 358,530 assault rifles. Now get this, the Biden administration gives the Taliban, gives the enemy assault rifles, but they want to take it from you here in the United States, law-abiding citizens. They don't want you to have it. And they're trying to press it, this radical leftist agenda that is controlled by Democrats in the House, the Senate, and now in the presidency, want to take away your God-given right to protect yourself, to own a weapon. They want to take it from you here, but they will give it to the Taliban. Now, tell me what kind of sense does that make? They also left with them there 634 vehicles that are resistant to IEDs, those explosive devices. When they blow up, these vehicles can resist those. 42,000 trucks and SUVs, 126,295 pistols, 64,363 machine guns, and 176 artillery pieces. Those are just things that remain on the ground. I guess you could associate that with Army-type equipment. Now here's equipment that belongs in the air. They left them 33 M-17 helicopters, 33 UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters, and 43 MD-53 helicopters. Utterly amazing. They have four C-130 transport aircraft. They have 28 Cessna aircraft. They have 10 Cessna AC-203 aircraft. Utterly amazing. They have now equipped the Taliban with more equipment than the vast majority of armies around the world have. They have more Black Hawk helicopters than 85% of the countries in the world. Congressman Jim Banks, a veteran, said that. But it's not just the visions. It's the night vision goggles, body armor, and unbelievably, the Taliban now has biometric devices which have the fingerprints, eye scans, and biographical information of all the Afghans who helped us and were on our side over the last 20 years. There is no plan by the administration to get these weapons back. There is no plan to account for any of this equipment or these weapons. Ladies and gentlemen, that was intentional. Obama is a Muslim. He takes his orders from the Council of Foreign Relations. They told them to leave that equipment there, and they did. Blood is on Biden's hand. Blood is on Obama's hand. Blood is on the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Miley. Blood is on their hands because they left that equipment there. They cost the lives of thousands of people in the final days that we were leaving Afghanistan, which they very stupidly told exactly how it was going to be done, gave up our air bases, and pulled the military out before all civilians were taken out. That was intentional, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let's get back to the article by Rob Pugh. Now, these highly sophisticated weapons were handed over to our enemies on purpose. This is Rob Pugh saying that, and I agree with him completely. It was a deliberate move to make sure the Taliban is now highly armed, perhaps now one of the most well-equipped armies in the world. The Taliban has vowed to take jihad to the whole world, and now we've equipped them very well to do just that. In Afghanistan, the Taliban is going door-to-door hunting Christians, and thousands of executions of Christians have already taken place. Now our country is scrambling to evacuate people from Afghanistan. Let me take another little aside there. I've always wondered, who are these Americans who are left behind in Afghanistan? How did they even get there? Well, here was an article from Fox News, written by Bree Stimson. This was written on September 5th. And House Foreign Affairs Committee, I'm reading from the article now by Bree Stimson. House Foreign Affairs Committee member Daryl Issa on the fight to free trapped citizens in Afghanistan and bring them back to America. One of those is a pregnant woman named Nasria. That's spelled N-A-S-R-I-A. Hope I said it right. A pregnant woman named Nasria, who is a California native. That means she was born in California. She flew to Afghanistan in June to visit family and get married. Okay, so here's one of these Americans who family apparently was originally from Afghanistan, came to America. She was born in America. She's an American citizen, and she flew to Afghanistan to visit family and get married. As of early September, she remained one of the estimated 100 to 200 Americans left behind in the chaotic withdrawal of U.S. forces, according to a report. Now, I'm not saying that all Americans who are left behind in Afghanistan right now are related to other Afghanis or their parents originally came from Afghanistan. This is just one example. Okay, now reading back the article from Bree Stimson. Now that the U.S. military is gone, the Taliban is hunting Americans, she told the Voice of America. I think to myself, am I going to make it home? Am I going to end up living here? Am I going to end up dying here? What's going to happen? Nasria is 25, who asked to be referred to only by her first name for safety reasons. She said, apparently the Taliban going door to door, trying to see if anybody has a blue passport. Recall too, ladies and gentlemen, the news reports we are hearing that the Obama administration gave the Taliban the list of names and the biometric data of people who were left behind. Why on earth would they do that unless it was intentional? That is utterly amazing that they would do that. I welcome your comments, ladies and gentlemen, on this. If you would like to call in, express your concerns, it's at 904-831-0917. Okay, back to this article by Bree Stimson of Fox News. Last week, U.S. Rep. Daryl Issa, Republican of California, who has been working to rescue Americans remaining in Afghanistan, said during an appearance on Fox News that Nasrallah had been kicked in the stomach by Taliban fighters. I'm not reading the article now. This is just my own commentary. The Taliban are barbarians. They're savages. They are people who have had this mindset for centuries, hundreds of years, that they belong to this Muslim mindset. By the way, Islam is not a great religion. It is a great deception. They worship the demonic god of the crescent moon, and they will do what that demonic god tells them to do. They have no value for life. They have no value for rights, basic rights that were given to us by God. That instead, they just think that power and might is what is right, and they have been that way for hundreds of years. Now, back to the article by Bree Stimson, and she is now quoting Representative Daryl Issa. Anyone who says there aren't people stranded is wrong. This is Daryl Issa who said that during the broadcast. As the country fell to the Taliban, Nasrallah and her husband's an Afghan national, hurried to the overcrowded and chaotic Kabul airport in an effort to evacuate. It was so hard to get on a flight. There were a couple of days where we had to sleep on streets, she said. People were literally stepping over people. That's how bad it was. It was chaotic. It was terrible. And then we have a quote from General Miley that says, "What you saw unfold with this evacuation operation involved an extensive amount of planning." Ladies and gentlemen, did that look like planning to you? It looked like total chaos. But then I back up a little bit. Perhaps it was planned that way. Perhaps it was intentional. Perhaps it was on purpose that all that equipment and all those people were left behind. And then we had 13 service members who were murdered by a car bomb who came and detonated right outside the Kabul airport, killing those brave young men and women. Blood is on Joe Biden's hands. And then as those people who, through their sacred honor and duty defending this nation, their bodies were brought back to America, that as each of the coffins passed by Joe Biden, he would look at his watch. Despicable. That is just despicable. Showing such disrespect. He didn't do it just one time. According to one of the Gold Star families, a father who was there, Biden looked at his watch every single time a coffin went by. 13 times he looked at his watch as if he had something better to do, some place other than that where he wanted to be, something that he wanted to get done instead of being there. That is just despicable behavior coming from Biden, who we all know, I will go ahead and say it on this program, and I won't regret saying it, that this was a stolen election. That instead of Biden being there, We should have President Trump in office. There is no doubt that there was fraud that was committed. We see it coming out of the states of Arizona, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, all of them. We have Jim on the line. Jim, what is your question or comment?
Hey, Mark, how are you doing today? Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Anybody that wants to know what actually happened, you don't have to look any farther than this man's history. He did the same thing back in 1975 when President Ford was going before the Senate to get additional funds to help get these South Vietnamese interpreters and people that helped the United States government there. He was one of the leading senators at the time that blocked money to keep them out. This man for 50 years has done the same pattern there.
You're absolutely right, Jim. That is right. Thank you for bringing that back to my my remembrance. So just as you say, he blocked the funding to get those who were helping us in the Vietnam War and equipment out of Vietnam. He blocked it, and he did it again today. Great point. Great catch, Jim.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you for calling, Jim. Okay, let's get back to the article. Now our country, this is by Rob Pugh again, now our country is scrambling to evacuate people from Afghanistan. We still have military there. This is according to Rob Pugh, and I received this article on Saturday. I don't know if that's the case or not, or if this was dated, but this is what he says. We still have military there. We still have civilian contractors, missionaries, and aid workers there who are American citizens. But predictably, the focus has been on evacuating Afghanistan citizens. That's unbelievable. Okay, I'm breaking away, and now I'm adding my own comment. That's unbelievable that they are evacuating unvetted Afghanistan citizens. I saw one photograph of a C-130 that was full of Afghanistanis. They were all males, and they were all young. No women were on there on that aircraft. No children on that aircraft. They were all males, young men, who were flown into this country and to other nations. And we have seen this pattern in the past. Obama did it when he brought in so many people from Somalia and brought them into Wisconsin. And now we have so many were brought into one district that they could elect someone like Ilhan Omar, not once, but twice, because he brought in so many people and put them in one place. Look at Dearborn, Michigan, where they brought all the Muslims in there. And now it looks like a Muslim community. They do call to prayer. They have mosques up everywhere. And Christianity is almost forbidden to be spoken about or talked to about in churches there. So they are doing the same thing. Let's get back to the article. I recently learned that the State Department has delivered an untold number of blank U.S. visas, literally flooding that country with blank U.S. visas, which are being filled out and used by anyone and everyone, including the Taliban. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be taking a break at the top of the hour. We'll come back after the break. We'd love to hear your questions, your comments, your concerns. This is Face the Issue with Mike Hill, sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.